Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gelly, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OPAP conference call to present and discuss the OPAP first quarter 2018 interim management statements. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Damian Cope, CEO of OPAP SA. Mr. Cope, please proceed.
Thank you very much, operator. Good morning or good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to OPAP's Q1 2018 Investor Conference Call. As always, our CFO, Michael Hoost, will start by commenting on the financial picture for the quarter. I will then provide you with an update, and we will then answer any questions you may have. Michael, over to you.
Thank you, Damien, and good afternoon, everybody. Starting with a short reference on the macro, although we still lack GDP data for the quarter, I believe that Q1 economic trends will probably prove in tandem with expectations. Tourism continues on a healthy growth path in what could prove another record year. Exports stay on the rise, at the same time narrowing the country's current accounts deficit, while the increase in unemployment over the course of the last month is most probably due to the seasonality patterns. On top, leading indicators like economic sentiment and consumer confidence recovered after retracing a bit in January and February. On the negative side, signs from the retail business, which is the metrics we follow, have not been particularly exciting. Private consumption stood lower in the last quarter of 2017, while retail sales remained stable in February. When compared to those figures, it is clear that OPAP once more managed to perform well. Our revenue for the quarter increased by 5.1%, mostly due to solid performance of our new products. Gross profit from gaming operations followed the same trend and came in at 148 million, rising by roughly equal 4.9%, indicating a sound operating model when it comes to new business revenues. EBITDA-wise, following some quarters of stability, we managed to grow by a material 11.1% at 87 million due to both revenue increase but also efficient cost control across the company's operations. Finally, net profit reached 39.9 million, high by 20% for the year. Our focus on cost efficiency was evident for the quarter. As a reminder, in the past couple of quarters, we have been upgrading our network infrastructure, completely changing our IT systems, rolling out thousands of VLTs and SSBTs, and introducing new games. Despite all of those, our OPEX line consisting of payroll, marketing and other OPEX increased by only 1.5 million for the quarter, almost solely coming from our continuous investment in our people and the subsequent payroll increase, which however has already started normalizing when compared to full year 2017. Marketing-wise, our expense was double-digit down year on year, but we consider that this is mostly a campaign timing effect, and we would expect that the full year figure would be very close to 2017 figures. As for our cash flow, I would start with a smaller reference to our operating cash flow, which was lower, mostly due to higher taxes payable. The latter mostly relates to the payment of the withholding taxation on the extra dividend of 223 million, which we paid in December, and to a lesser extent higher GGR tax payment. Finally, our CAPEX this quarter reached 11 million and pretty much included everything that the company focused on, like IT, infrastructure, rollout, etc. Going forward, our expectations for the full year based on the current needs stands lower than 50 million, while we believe that from 2019, our CAPEX will mostly turn towards maintenance. Turning to our products, betting shine for yet another quarter, up by 12.6% due to the material contribution of virtuals, while Stoiximan declined despite the positive contribution of SSBTs. The latter have now reached more than 3,100 machines across more than 1,500 agencies and demonstrate a satisfying performance in line with international experience. Going forward, we expect that Q2 will also prove to be a positive quarter, also held by the most important event in our industry, the World Cup. We, however, note that the like-for-like comparison will gradually get tougher as virtuals enter the market in Q2 2017. Lottery-wise, revenues were down on the back of two factors. Joker performance, which was hit by tough year-on-year comparables in conjunction with what we think was one of the most unfavorable jackpot rollover in the last couple of years. Note that in Q1 2017, we had a 16 million jackpot, which brought in a cumulative 13 million of GGR, while the highest jackpot in Q1 18 stood at 5.6 million, leading to just 11 million of GGR. Kino cannibalization, which naturally has been growing together with the number of the machines, albeit at a modest and definitely not alarming rate. All in all, I think it is fair to say that kino cannibalization has up to this time been somehow milder versus our original expectations, while the game will be additionally aided by the new initiatives similar to Kino Bonus that are scheduled to materialize in the Q4 this year. Hellenic Lottery's performance was very close to the last year's numbers, as scratch ticket decline was almost fully counterbalanced by the passive lottery's rejuvenation. We expect this trend to remain largely unchanged during the remaining course of the year as well. Finally, when it comes to VLTs, Q1 GGR reached 43.4 million versus just less than 2 million in the same period last year, demonstrating that VLT has already constituted one of the largest contributors to our financials. GGRs for the fully operating machines for the quarter reached €46 per VLT per day, which we consider as satisfying given the fact that half of those commenced operations within Q4 2017. As for rollout progress, we ended the quarter with 11,500 machines on the field, while we are now standing at almost 13,000 and remain firm on our 20,000 machines targets by the end of the year. With that, I am passing you over to Damien, who will comment on our business progress over the quarter and our plans going forward.
Thank you, Michal. I'll now take you through our business progress in Q1 and also provide you with an update on our key initiatives and strategic priorities. Turning first to our retail network, while ABAP managed on the one hand to realize some commission-related savings, our investments have also helped to deliver a positive impact on the agent's profitability as well. Based on preliminary data, the average commission per agent across the network in absolute terms is actually higher year on year, while for shops with VLTs, average total commission is almost 10% higher. We believe these initial results vindicate our long-term view and provide a good example of how reaching a common understanding can lead to results that are positive for both ABAP and our agents. As you will remember, a number of our agents did not sign the new contract last year, and once their 12-month termination period ended, they closed their shops during Q1 2018. As a result, the number of ABAP shops in the Greek retail network went from 4,367 agencies at the end of 2017 to 3,836 today. The latter number includes around 150 new shops that we have opened so far during 2018. Some of these relate to the normal course of business, such as relocations to commercially better spots, while some others pertain to the replacement of some of the locations that terminated their operations. All in all, our target is to replenish roughly more than half of the closed shops locations, resulting in an overall network of somewhere above 4,000 agencies by the end of 2018. The recruitment process for new agents is proceeding well, and we are confident that we will in this way further modernize and optimize our overall retail estate. Our busy technology roadmap continues with good progress made. We've now rolled out all of the new retail point-of-sale terminals, so around 10,000 units, together with the new digital signage players. We expect the migration of the remaining retail products and services to these new terminals and the move to the new Playtech sports betting platform to be completed as planned over the summer. Finally, when it comes to online, the relaunch of our offering has been pushed back slightly to coincide with the new football season. It's no secret that we were targeting the World Cup, but in the end we decided to delay our launch and remove the complexity of an additional technology migration during this busy period. On VLTs, the rollout is proceeding well, and we now have just over 12,800 machines across our estate. And today we also celebrate the opening of our 300th gaming hall. As we pass the midway point of our rollout of 25,000 machines, we've been further assessing the relative benefits of putting more machines into existing gaming halls and OPAP agencies, as we are allowed to do under the new law, compared to rolling out new locations. The fact that many of our existing points of sale have a relatively short operating history also has to be factored into our thinking. As a result, during Q2, and along with more new openings, we've gradually started to increase the number of VLTs in certain locations that we think make commercial sense, and we expect that this trend will continue over the next few months. Overall, we're still aiming for our end of 2018 target of around 20,000 machines, which we believe is feasible given the current rollout progress and the fact that we managed to deliver 10,000 machines during the course of 2017. In terms of customers, we've now reached a total of 210,000, and there are no notable changes that we've witnessed in the demographic trends, with the male-female split now slightly different at 74%, 26%. Product-wise, we believe we now have a deeper understanding of what sort of content our customers like, and we have a busy program of new games launches for the rest of 2018. We're also still working hard to introduce a linked jackpot product, either in Q4 2018 or early 2019. As for the rest of our products, and starting with betting, Michael has already referred to the performance. I would just like to reiterate that we are satisfied with virtuals and plan to bring in new content by the end of the year. On SSBTs, our installation pace has picked up, going from a base of 1,400 machines at the end of 2017 to more than double that at 3,100 machines across 1,500 agencies as of today. This figure is going to further increase within this year as the evidence from our operations in Cyprus in particular strongly suggests an argument for increased density. We already offer betting on virtuals via these devices, but we are also looking to add other products, and we hope to have an additional new product being piloted by the end of this year. Lottery-wise, we remain rather unlucky so far with jackpot rollovers, and notably when compared to Q1 2017, as you've heard from Michal. Considering, though, that this is within the normal course of business, we expect that the trend will sooner or later revert to the mean. And as for Keno, our flagship game has been performing relatively well, and both the gradual opening of new agencies as well as our new product initiatives in Q4 should help the game further. On passive lotteries, we launched the new Lyco product with a new, more attractive price structure, and first impressions have been positive from both our network and our customers. Despite our significant efforts to revive horse racing in Greece and deal with the problems that we inherited, such as a steadily dropping number of horses and a markedly lower level of betting activity, our horse racing business remains loss-making. In the past 2.5 years, we've undertaken many initiatives and incurred significant costs to develop a competitive offer, including designing a simplified betting product, upgrading the racetrack, and conducting 2 horse auctions with beneficial financial terms for Greek owners. We also continue to give extra incentives to horse owners by doubling prize money compared to the provisions within the concession agreement. Yet despite these efforts, there is still no significant improvement in the results, which makes it clear that the horse racing business requires a full strategic review and further optimization of the operating costs. To this end, we are engaged in trying to make this activity sustainable, and we are in discussions with the relevant authorities, exploring various options so as to reach common ground and find a viable long-term solution while at the same time protecting shareholder interests. Whatever the outcome, it is certain that the status quo cannot continue. Taking into account that payment services now also fall within our product range, I'll also provide an update on Tora Wallet. Following the award of the e-money license from the Bank of Greece, the company proceeded with a pilot project to certify a small number of APAP stores as agents of the e-money institution. The pilot was concluded successfully in early May, and the next step is to invite all APAP stores to participate in the certification process. In all certified locations, the bill payment service will be immediately available, allowing consumers to make payments to more than 100 organizations, including all major utility providers. Following that, we expect that within the second half of this year, we will gradually extend TORA's offer to various additional services, including remittances, where consumers will be able to send cash from one certified location to another, both in Greece and overseas. Moving now to the rest of our strategic priorities and starting with our brand, the strong momentum of our campaigns continues. Our new tagline, Live the Game, awareness stands at 60% in just a few months, and our credibility campaign for customers was launched on March the 30th with our new site, methadonabap.gr, used by the wider public to learn more about ABAP and its operations, and has already had more than 145,000 unique visitors. We also continued our efforts to strengthen our customer relationships by implementing a new campaign management tool, which allows us to optimize one-to-one communications with our players, and we also reached a total of 12,000 customers through 17 research studies just in Q1 alone. The OPAP team reached 1,428 people in the quarter, and as is evident from the comparison with the full year's figure, the growth trend has decelerated, and that is very much in line with our thinking following the completion of some of our key projects. It's also worth noting that the company's headcount expansion came in tandem with an overall improvement in the company's working environment. We were particularly proud for OPAP to be recognized earlier this year as being one of the top 10 large Greek companies to work for by the internationally recognized Best Workplaces program. Within CSR, following the successful conclusion of the first OPAP Forward program, which led to the support of 20 small and medium enterprises and the creation of over 2,000 direct or indirect job positions, we recently launched the second OPAP Forward program, which means we are now supporting 40 companies across Greece. We also still continue our support of the sports academies as well as the children's hospitals renovation. Both of these projects are widely recognized, as proven by the numerous awards we received at the recent Hellenic Responsible Business Awards event. As for our relationship with the Hellenic Gaming Commission and other key state bodies, we continue our fruitful and efficient day-to-day cooperation, focusing on the mutual interest of Greek society, the Greek state, and OPAP. We've been working particularly closely in relation to the topic of illegal gaming, which deprives the state of significant tax revenues and poses a threat for society. Tackling the illegal market requires time and major effort, but the steps made by the authorities in the past few months are very much in the right direction. At OPAP, we're fully committed to support the Greek state and the Hellenic Gaming Commission in this area. As regards the online market, our position hasn't changed. The government has repeatedly expressed its intention to promote a new legislation, and a public consultation process was run by the Hellenic Gaming Commission. We participated in this process and shared our positions. We've consistently said we would welcome the introduction of a fair and balanced legislation which will clarify the overall environment and also respect ABAP's rights. We are hopeful that there will be progress in the coming period, but it would be premature to make any further comment at this stage. Overall, and to sum up, I believe that Q1 set the tone for what we believe will be a meaningful year of growth for ABAP. The transformational activities leading to this growth continue and are well supported by the hard-working ABAP team. I remain confident that the end of this year will bring us even closer to the delivery of our 2020 vision. With that, I'm concluding my opening statement, and Mikhail and I are now ready to answer any questions you may have. Thank you for your patience and your attention.
The first question comes from Mr. Draziotis Stamatis with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello there, and thank you for taking my questions. Three questions, if I may, please. Firstly, on VLTs, you mentioned what the performance of the 10,000 machines was in the first quarter, the machines operating since the start of Q1. Could you please tell us how the 5,000 machines operating since the start of Q4, i.e. for more than 3 months, how these machines performed in the first quarter, and related to that is whether you have seen any changes in the pattern of the ramping up of the machines lately, i.e. The time period it takes for the machines to reach the performance you have in mind, compared to what we saw in 2017. That's the first question. Secondly, on sports betting, Mikhail suggested that you basically expect Q2 to be a positive quarter. Just wondering, what does this mean exactly? Were you referring to Stoixima specifically? So just wondering whether you meant that Stoixima will turn positive thanks to the on a standalone basis, thanks to the World Cup activity. And thirdly, just on horse racing, just wondering to what extent has this business diluted operating profit in the last 2 years, please. Thank you.
Hi, it's Michal. I will answer the two questions, and Damien will answer one of the three questions. Yeah. So, on the first question on the VLTs, basically, as you can see, even from the profile, you know, we ramp up basically from 5 to 10,000 machines within the quarter, and majority of those things happened in late November and December. So, basically, to catch up on the opening on the main season, let's say. And that's why the performance in the Q1 was basically 46 euros was driven by half of the machines which were operating definitely in average basically seriously below 3 months. Yeah, so it was quite new machines. And in that respect, we are saying that this 46 is a good metric for the quarter. We believe it's a good performance. With regards to your question whether we see any difference in the ramping up of the machines, you know, compared to the machines which were rolled before the Q4, not particularly. So in the gaming halls, the performance is still having quite healthy trends, and you don't see a big difference in the performance. There is some weakening in the shops because, let's say, the shops are a little bit auxiliary product in the shops for all the other betting opportunities you have in the shop, and there is some weakening when we are basically deploying to the shops which are a bit weaker from the business point of view in general. So there is definitely some pattern of weakening in the shops. But in the gaming hall, which is the majority, let's say, of the revenues and of the machines, the trends are gradually improving, and there is no difference in the performance of the machines deployed in the first three quarters and the last quarter. Then on the last questions about the horse racing, basically it is roughly 9 to 10 million on operating EBITDA level, let's say, a year in the last 2 years, negative, let's say, impact from horses, and this should be better this year, let's say, slightly. If we would not, let's say, review more seriously the business model which Damien mentioned on the call. So this is something we are looking into there. This is what we were mentioning. It needs a bit more restructuring and bit more effort from, let's say, all the parties, all the stakeholders around the horse racing. And the second question about the Stoixima, yeah. I will give it to Damien.
So just on sports betting for Q2, look, as Michal said, World Cup is the, you know, biggest, if you like, betting bonanza that ever takes place. The Olympics is not a big betting event, but certainly the World Cup of football is. We're lucky now that it's in the right time zone for Greece. Last time it was in Brazil, so we expect there to be a lot of interest, even though Greece, unfortunately, is not participating. We now have, as you've heard, a significant number of self-service betting terminals out there, which we think we will appeal to customers. This week we launched our coupon for the World Cup, which has got more markets than we've ever had before. So we think we have a very attractive offering. So we are optimistic that our customers will respond. As you know, with any big tournament, you can't necessarily guarantee the margin, but certainly we expect to see good levels of interest and good levels of activity, and we are optimistic for the quarter.
Okay, and just to confirm, so this means excluding the contribution from virtual games, unless the results obviously are unfavorable, that you expect this to flow through to a positive gross gaming revenue number for Stoiximan.
To be honest, we look at the betting category as one now, because since we launched virtuals, we are well aware that a lot of our sports betting customers enjoy playing virtual products. So although we look at the individual parts of our betting category, I would be very happy if customers won good money on World Cup matches and then reinvested that money into virtuals, which is a pretty common experience. So let's see how we go during the World Cup in terms of the relative spend, but we think we've got a very attractive offer for the quarter.
That's very clear. Thank you very much. Just a follow up on the question about the VLTs. I'm not sure that I've understood. So the 5,000 machines which have were already ramped up to some extent in the from the beginning of the first quarter. Did these machines generate a gross gaming revenue figure per day, you know, in the mid-50s, or was it?
I mean, you can do the math, yeah? If you would basically use the same logic of the ramp-up that you see, let's say, from the Kelvin Q1, Q2, Q3, you know, for the ones that were new, you can do the math, yeah? But basically, this is it, as you said.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The next question comes from Mr. Kourtesi Iakovo with Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Could you reiterate for us your CapEx guidance for the full year 2018 period? And second question, taking into account that at the moment you're halfway in the deployment of VLTs with more than 13,000 machines already been deployed. I was wondering, do you have any target for your net drop per VLT per day or a threshold for this figure for the full year 2018 period in which you will be satisfied?
Yeah. So for the CapEx, I said it on the speech. It was basically mentioned that for the full year, the expectation is up to 50 million, which is in line with, let's say, our 2 years transformation program, which was over 100 million CapEx. So this is the expectation on the year. And then going forward in 2019-20, blah, 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 it should be seriously lower because we expect only the maintenance CapEx. Yeah. So that's the guidance on the CapEx. On the VLTs, yes, for sure we have targets with which we would be satisfied, but as we are not indicating or not giving some forward-looking expectations and forecasts, we cannot give you this target, which is, let's say, internal. So unfortunately, I cannot answer. And just for a clarification, the machines is 12,800, not over 13,000. So I think maybe we a little bit misled you because I said up to 13. Damien said exactly 12,800. So it went to 12,800. Yeah, so it's not over 13,000.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Cope for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us today, everybody, and we look forward to speaking with you again very soon. Have a good day. Thank you.